Well, good morning. It's so good to see you here in Celebration Worship, and all you guys in Crosswalk Worship and our friends at Green Acres South. Open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm in a series, within a series. Today we're in the series called Grace Fruit, Jesus Living in Me. We're studying the fruit of the Spirit, and today we're going to talk about joy, and we're going to learn that joy is a choice, not a feeling. Now, in a few moments, the kids are going to join me on stage, and we're going to learn our song again. And I'm going to help you because my goal for you, number one, is for these nine character personality qualities to be lived in your life by Jesus. But my next goal is for you to memorize them because I want you to be able to know all nine fruit of the Spirit so that whenever you're going through a tough day or something, you can just sing them to yourself and be reminded how Jesus wants to live in and through you. If you're looking at your Bible, the scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and if you notice that the first three only have one syllable, love, joy, peace, the next three have two syllables, patience, kindness, goodness. The last three have three syllables, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, kids, come up here and join me today. Helping me, we have Sydney Curley, McKinley Jones, Anna Grace Barnes, and Shelby Bassett. And they're going to help us sing our fun song. It's a kid's song, but it's a great way to learn scripture. So everybody, let's stand together and hit it. Now, when we say the fruit, you say the other fruit. You don't sing it. This fruit of the Spirit, it's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. So if you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, yeah. Well, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. Now, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. So if you want to be an apple, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, not lemon. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, not lemon. But you want to be a lemon. You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, not a plum. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, not a plum. If you want to be a plum, might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One more time, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, let's give it up for these guys. Thanks so much for your help. I hope it happens sometime this summer that you're just going through your daily activities and you're going, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll have that in your heart and in your mind, and you'll know how Jesus wants to live inside of you. Well, last week we talked about love, and one of the assignments was I asked you to kind of project on the screen of your conscience the face of someone that you're having a hard time loving, and let Jesus love that person through you. And I got some response from that. One guy said I had to use a split screen. Somebody else said, well, that was nothing. Mine looked like the TV display at Don's TV. Well, whether it's one person or 100 people, Jesus can love all of those people through you. I love joy. I've always loved the name joy, the word joy. In fact, my very first girlfriend was named Joy. Joy Thompson, third grade. She was Little Miss Peanut Queen. at the Peanut Festival in Dothan, Alabama. No kidding. I mean, and she was beautiful. Only trouble is, one of my good friends, Alan Silverman, also wanted Joy for his girlfriend. Now, we only had two Jewish families in the little town I grew up in, and Alan Silverman was one of those Jewish families, and so we competed for Joy Thompson. I'll never forget the day when Alan spoke to me very seriously. He said, "You know what? I talked to my mother, and my mother said, I'm Jewish. I have to marry a Jewish wife, and so Joy's not Jewish, so you can have her." I can recall it was the first time ever in my life I said, "Thank God for the Jews." Not the last time, but it was the first time I ever did that. But you know, Joy is more than just a name. It's more than a feeling. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And I really think joy is most closely related to grace. In fact, I call them twins because the name, the words in Greek are almost identical. They come from the same root. The word for grace is the word charis, and the word for joy is the word chara. And it's the same root. Grace and joy. Well, today we're going to talk about how you can experience this joy. You know, a number of years ago, they were doing some excavations at the Mamertine prison in Rome. And this was a prison where many of the Christians were kept during the time of persecution before they were taken to the Colosseum where they were fed to wild beasts. And this letter, apparently, the fragment that was recovered was written by a Christian who was apparently in this prison. We don't know the author of it. But we do know the content of it, and the message is powerful. And this is what this note said, the fragment of a letter. It said, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than the pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." Isn't it amazing that we do, as Christians, have a secret that the world would pay any amount of money for if they could, to have this sense of joy that's dwelling up inside of us because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life? As we talk about this fruit of the Spirit, joy, I want to basically answer three questions. What is it? What is joy really? And then where can you find it? And then how do you express this fruit of the Spirit that's called joy? First of all, what is it? Point number one, joy is a cheerful attitude in every circumstance of life. Every circumstance. A cheerful attitude. You know, it's easy to be joyful and happy when things are going great, when you feel good and your bills are paid and everybody loves you. Because there's a great difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent upon happenings. It comes from the word hap, which means luck. And when you have happenings that are good, you're happy. But when your hap turns bad, you're not happy. So happiness is dependent upon circumstances, and joy is only dependent upon Jesus. That's the difference. You know, a lot of people misunderstand our Declaration of Independence. First of all, they think that the government gives us our rights. And secondly, they think that one of these rights is the right to be happy. They think the government owes it to them to be happy. But I'll remind you that the Declaration of Independence doesn't say our government gives us these rights. It says we are endowed by our Creator. God gives us these rights. Life, liberty, but not happiness. Do you notice that? What is it? It is the pursuit of happiness. Everybody ought to be free to pursue happiness. But there is something so much better than happiness, and that is joy. The joy that comes from a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is an important concept in the Bible. The word joy appears 158 times. The word rejoice appears 198 times. It's all throughout the Word of God. In fact, there are 27 different Hebrew words just to describe joy or rejoice. And some of them are pretty descriptive. One Hebrew word for joy means to dance around in a circle. Another Hebrew word for joy means to shine like the brightness of the sun. And all of those things kind of capture what it means to be joyful. Did you know not every language has the word for joy? True story. There were some missionaries ministering to the Eskimos in northern Alaska years ago, trying to teach them the word of God, but they didn't have a word joy in their vocabulary. So the missionaries looked around to find what was the most delightful experience of the Eskimos. And they determined that every evening when they would go out and feed the sled dogs, and the sled dogs would jump around and yelp and wag their tails and even make the Eskimos smile. And so they took that concept and they put it in their translation of the Bible. You know, the Bible says in the gospel, according to Luke, that when the disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection, they were full of joy. If you read it in the Hebrew Bible, it says the disciples, when they saw Jesus after the resurrection, they wagged their tails with joy. That's a literal Eskimo translation. You know, there are a lot of different ideas about what joy is and what isn't. I want to quote a couple of men I consider to be great spiritual mentors of mine, both with the Lord now. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he says, "Joy is like the sun always shining, even when the night falls or clouds cover it. Happiness is like the moon, waxing and waning. Happiness is born in the mind, joy in the heart. Happiness comes from humans. Joy comes only from God." And then another one of my friends and heroes was Dr. Adrian Rogers, who died 7 years ago. He said, "Happiness is like cosmetics. Joy is like character. Happiness comes from outside circumstances. Joy comes from within. Happiness meets surface needs. Joy meets our deepest needs. In time of suffering, happiness usually evaporates and disappears, but joy often intensifies in times of suffering." Did you catch that? Joy often intensifies in times of suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is always present deep within your heart, even though you go through some of the toughest experiences of life. That's why James, writing in the first chapter, said this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." In other words, I believe the time that joy is most valuable to us, it's not during those times when we feel like jumping up and down and hollering and shouting because we feel good, we're happy. No, joy is most valuable and most precious to us when we go through those tough times. That's when the strength of the Lord we find is really His joy within us. I love the story in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they go into the city to preach the gospel, and they're arrested as usual. When Paul went into a city, he didn't say, "What are the hotels like?" He said, "What are the jails like?" This was the Philippi, and they were beaten, and then they were put in stocks and bonds. Now, when we're talking about stocks and bonds, we're not talking about the kind you buy on Wall Street today. We're talking about wooden stocks that were put around his neck and his hands. We're talking about metal bonds that cuffed his hands and feet. So here he is, Paul, and with his friend Silas in this jail. And the Bible says it was about midnight. And so what did they do? Did they start saying, "Oh, woe is me, God, help us out. You're so mean. Are you up there, God? Why are you treating me this way, God?" No, no, no. You know what the Bible said they did? They started singing praises to God. Now, we don't know what they sang, but you know, they often sang the Old Testament, put it to music. And one of my favorite promises from the Old Testament is Nehemiah 8:10, a song about joy. So it might have been that they were singing, "The joy of the Lord is..." They couldn't clap their hands up. "Is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." And they kept singing that over and over again. And the other prisoners were listening. And I just can't help but think that God in heaven was enjoying this worship and praise as they were expressing the joy they had in their hearts, even though they'd been beaten and tied down to stocks and bonds. And I imagine God started maybe clapping his hands a little bit and maybe started tapping his foot a little bit. Because you know what? When God starts tapping his foot, things happen. Things start moving. In fact, the Bible says things moved enough that an earthquake occurred. And the stocks fell off, the chains fell off, the doors to the prison fell off, all because they were expressing the joy that they had in the midst of tribulation. And as you know, that jailer came running in there, was going to kill himself because a Roman soldier would be put to death if any of his prisoners escaped. And Paul said, no, we're all here. And he was amazed and he said, sir, tell me, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul answered the question that all of us need to have answered. He said, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And he was. And the same Roman soldier who had earlier that evening beaten their backs took them to his house and washed their wounds. To me, that's an amazing story. You know why? Because it shows how they had joy even in difficult situations. Now, that's what it is. It's not just feeling good when things are going good. It's this inner deep sense of cheerfulness and positive attitude even when things are going bad in your life. Well, question number two, where do you find this joy? Well, here's the answer. Joy is a choice to allow Jesus to control your personality. See, Jesus is the source of our joy. And so the more I allow, and it's a choice I have, the more I allow Jesus to live his personality through me, that's where I find the joy. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11. He said, I have told you these things so that you will be, look at these words, filled with my joy, not your joy. Jesus said, filled with my joy. Yes, and then your joy will overflow. Now, I'm not asking you today, ladies and gentlemen, are you filled with the joy of Jesus? I'm asking you, is the joy of Jesus overflowing in your life? Because that's two different things. I mean, you can be full of joy, but not overflowing. And I can remember when I first learned a life lesson about that. I'm not that old, but there was a time when I was a child that my great aunt, Aunt Nellie, lived on a farm and they had no running water. And so the only way you got water was from a well. And now some of you who are maybe older than me can remember that. And some of you have never had that experience. I only had it once. And I would go out to the well and I'd drop the bucket down into the dark well and I would hear the pail hit the water and then I'd start cranking it up. But I never got a full bucket of water. I could never tell when it was full because it was so dark. And so Aunt Nellie patiently took me out there and she said, here, David, let me show you how to know when the bucket is full. And she dropped the bucket down in there and she just waited a long time. And then when she started pulling it up, she tipped it to one side and she said, can you hear it overflowing? That's when we know it's full. Only when you hear it overflowing do you know that it's full. And so I learned how to fill up a bucket in a well that evening. And you know what, folks? You never know for sure that you're full of the joy of Jesus until it is overflowing. In other words, if you have the joy of Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. Everybody around you will know there's something different about you because you have the joy of Jesus. True story, during the time of the gold rush out in California, there were three prospectors who found a very rich gold vein. And they were really excited, but they didn't want to tell anybody because they were afraid somebody would jump their claim before they could file for it. And so they covered it up and then they took a vow of silence. We're not going to tell a person. So they went into the nearby town to file a claim and to buy more equipment, not saying one word about what had happened to them. But when they left town, there was a crowd of miners who left town with them. And they said, why are you guys doing this? And they said, well, you didn't say a thing, but we could see in your faces that you had discovered something valuable. Has anybody ever said that about you? Has anybody ever looked at you and said, you know, I can just tell by looking at you that there is something different about you? I actually had that happen when I was in seminary. I was working at a Louisville Flying Service, which was at an airport, Bowman Field in Louisville, Kentucky. I was parking airplanes, gassing airplanes, and sometimes I would help the mechanics work on airplanes. And I'd been working there about 3 months when one of the old crusty mechanics, I was on the other side of an engine helping him replace the spark plugs. And he just stopped right in the middle of that work. He looked at me and he said, hey, you got to tell me, what is it that's different about you? Why are you always smiling? That's exactly what he said. He said, what is it about you? And guess what? I got to tell him about Jesus. I said, I'm this way because Jesus lives in me. And you see, the joy of Jesus will be seen. People will know that you have the joy of Jesus. Well, where do you get it? You get it from Jesus. Now, number three, how do you express it? How do you express joy? And there is a correlation between what I'm talking about right now and joy. Number three, joy is best expressed by giving. By giving. I started to say joy is increased or joy is improved, but you can't really increase or improve it, but it is expressed by giving. Here's what Jesus said. He said, remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed, and that's the word makaron, which means joyful life, means more than just blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, joy is not something you can just keep. Joy is something that when it overflows you, it results in an unselfish attitude, giving to others. In fact, there are four areas that I think that you can do to express your joy. Number one, learn to give thanks in every situation. You know what? The most joyful people are the most thankful people. And someone has said, well, you know, all of these nine fruit of the Spirit, why isn't thankfulness one of them? Well, I think it is because joyfulness and thankfulness are Siamese twins. They're two sides of the same coin. This week, I asked some of my Facebook friends to give me their definition of joy, and I got lots of good definitions. In fact, Tracy Hacker gave a good one. Tracy said, joy is the feeling deep down in your soul when you know God has you in the palm of his hand. No matter your circumstance, no matter the trial or hardship you face, it's him and nothing else. That's a good definition of joy. But as we talk about being thankful, you know what Jennifer Alden said? Here's her short definition of joy. She said, joy is thankfulness in all things. Thankfulness in all things. You know that psychiatrists and psychologists both agree that the people who are the most emotionally healthy people are the people who live with an attitude of gratitude. They're constantly thanking others because they're not looking at themselves and they're not thinking about what they don't have. They're thankful for what they do have. And here's what the Bible says in the last part of 1 Thessalonians. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I want to know God's will for my life. Well, there it is in black and white. To be joyful in everything, to give thanks in every situation. Folks, listen to me. I'm not saying you give thanks for everything that happens in your life, because not everything that happens in your life is good. Bad things do happen. You're not thanking God for that bad thing. You're rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of that good thing, bad thing, and you're thankful in that situation. Now, last week I had you give an assignment. I gave you an assignment of picturing this person in your mind, letting Jesus love that person through you, and go to that person this week and let Jesus just love on them. Here's my assignment for you this week with the fruit of joy, and it has to do with thankfulness. After church today sometime, I want you to write down on a list the things that you are most thankful for to God. And it can be little bitty things. Just start making a list of things that you're thankful for. And this is thankful to God for. But then I want you to make a second list. And I want you to write down the names of people for whom you are thankful. People in your life who are such a blessing to you, who are such an encouragement to you. And I want you to take this week to thank them for what they mean to you. And you know what? You're going to find that as you do this, your joy is not depleted. When you overflow the joy by giving thanks, you'll find that your joy actually is increased by giving. Here's a second way you can give. Give away your material possessions. You know, Americans are afflicted with a terrible case of materialism, consumerism. We're the world's greatest hoarders. I mean, you've seen the shows on television, these people that just hoard things and just store it up. And the Bible talks about that. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Keep things lightly in your hand. Give them away. Give things away. When God puts something in your hand, he never intended you to hold on to it. When God puts something in your hand, he wants you to pass it on. And then your hand is empty. He'll give you something else. And then you can pass that on. Don't ever hang on to anything. Just keep giving things away. And that is how joy is expressed. Joy is always expressed by giving. J.L. Kraft, after whom Kraft Foods is named, was a multi-billionaire, and he gave away over 25% of his income to the Lord's work, and here's what he said. The only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given to the Lord. You know, there's that little verse over there in 2 Corinthians where it said, God loves a cheerful giver. You know what it is? It's the word hilaron for cheerful. Hilaron. God says, you know, when you give with the right kind of spirit, it's such a joyful experience that it's hilarious. It's really hilarious when you have a real sense of joy in your giving. I'm always thinking of that parable that Jesus gave about the sower, you know, that sowed the seed. And this is one of the parables where Jesus gave the interpretation. He said, you know, the plant that grew for a while and then got choked out by the weeds. He said, I'll tell you what that's about. That's a person who allows the word to be planted in their heart and it begins to grow. And then he said, here's what happens. And here's exactly what he said. He said, what happens is the cares and worries of the world choke out the word. Now, we know worry will do that. But then he said, you know what else chokes it out? The deceitfulness of riches. He didn't say riches. He said the deceitfulness of riches. I mean, did you know that your money lies to you? Wealth lies to you. Your money will tell you, I'm all you need. All you need is me and a few more like me. Because if you get enough of me, money says, you will be happy. And I want to tell you, that is a lie. That's a lie. And that's what chokes out the word of God in our lives. And so folks, give. When God puts something in your hand, give it away as quick as you can. And he'll put something else in there so you can give it away again. Number three, give yourself in serving others. Give yourself in serving others. And in other words, if you're always focusing on your needs and your shortcomings and how you wish people would help you, you're not going to be emotionally healthy. A joyful person is always looking around saying, how can I help someone else? How can I give myself to them? You know, Jesus said that I want my joy to be in you. What was his joy in? Jesus' joy was in giving himself away for others. How do we know that? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the, look at this next word, joy set before him. Now, we don't have to wonder what that is because look what comes next. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, Jesus said, my joy is best expressed by going to the cross and giving myself because David Dykes needs a Savior. Because those people in Tyler, Texas need a sacrifice, need a substitute so they can go to heaven. So my joy is giving myself away to them. And so find a way that you can give yourself away because that's the way joy overflows by helping others. But there's one other way you can give, and that's to give hope to those that need it. And when I say give hope, I mean give the truth of the gospel to people who need to know Jesus. You know, the most exciting thing that you'll ever do as a Christian is not memorizing the 9 fruit of the Spirit. It's not reading through all 66 books of the Bible. The most joyous thing you'll do as a Christian ever, listen to me, is leading someone else to faith in Christ. It really is. It's the most joyful experience of being a Christian. Some of you have never had that experience. And in fact, sometimes when someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with my Christian life. I just don't have any joy. You know, one of the first diagnostic questions I ask them is this. I say, when was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Well, it's been a long time. I haven't done that. I promise you, if you just share the joy of the Lord that God has given you with other people, then you will have the joy of the Lord replaced and even multiplied in your heart. You know what? Don't you think that what makes heaven joyous ought to make us joyous? Well, look at these words of Jesus in Luke 15. He said, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over 5,000 people worshiping at Green Acres. Nope. Millions of dollars given to missions. Nope. Over one sinner who repents. Did you know that's what gives God joy? And that's why he gives us joy. And there's that wonderful promise in Psalms that of somebody taking the word of God, going forth weeping, so brokenhearted for the loss, it says they shall come again rejoicing. Because joy comes when you've shared the good news with people. And there are people all around us. You live with them. You work with them. They live in your neighborhoods. Who, as honestly as I know how to say it, unless they give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they're going to die and go to a godless hell. And God has given you the relationship with them so that you can share the joy that you have in Jesus. How's your joy today? You know how I can tell how much joy you have? I mean, talking about real Christian joy. Let the bottom fall out. Let trouble come. Let all hell break loose in your life, and then check your joy then. And that's how you can know whether or not you have the real joy of the Lord. True story. As I mentioned, Adrian Rogers, a good friend of mine, he tells the true story about a lady in his church who wrote him a letter. He had preached a message on joy a couple of Sundays before, and she woke up that morning and she was listening to it again. In fact, she wrote down a quote from that message as she was preparing to go to work that day. And the quote from his message on joy was this. He said, "What is the source of joy? If a tragic or traumatic thing happens, a child dies, your car is stolen, your home burglarized, valuable possessions lost, and you lose your joy, then you might well consider where your joy comes from. Because if your joy is in things or even a person, and you lose that, you can lose your joy. But if your joy comes from the Lord and He is enthroned in your heart, that joy cannot be taken away." She said, "What a blessing." And she was convicted about that. And then she got in a car to drive to work and turned on her Christian radio station. And there was Steve Green singing a song that went right along with what Adrian had said in that message. It was a song entitled, "That's Where the Joy Comes From." And part of the lyrics say this: "Thieves may try to rob my treasure, but they don't hold the key that leads into the sanctuary where God's Spirit lives in me." And the chorus says, "This joy that I have that I'm singing of is from the Lord, is from the Lord. That's where the joy comes from. That's where the joy comes from." I mean, all the way to work that morning was all about the joy of the Lord. I mean, there was a reason for that. Because in the letter she wrote to her pastor, here's what she said. Same day, "Soon after I arrived at work, one of my sons called to tell me that when he drove to our house about 10 a.m., he found all of the doors open and the house terribly ransacked and quite a lot of our belongings stolen. Right then, I realized that the Lord had been preparing me for this that very morning. I thought of the words of the song and what you had said in your message that came so clearly to my mind. If I ever wondered what it's like when God speaks to a person, I now know. When I got home, I saw the awful sight. It took us all afternoon to straighten up the mess the burglars left. And yet this feeling of joy kept popping out. I want you to know that that day is a day I'll never forget, not because of the burglary, but because of the way that God spoke to me and the fact that I really saw today that thieves may rob my treasure, but they don't hold the key that leads into the sanctuary where God's Spirit lives in me." Hey, where is the source of your joy today? Come on, be honest. What is the source of your joy today? Because if it's in anything else, any person else than the Lord Jesus Christ, your joy could be lost. But if your joy is in Jesus, your joy will be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This joy inside wells up like a spring, like a fountain. And like Jesus said, like rivers of living water will flow out of you, touching those around you. And that's what real joy is all about. It's time now for our invitation in Crosswalk Celebration in Green Acres South. And in a moment, I'll be leading a prayer, after which we'll sing a song. And during that song, if you'd like to talk to someone about becoming a member of Green Acres or about how to become a Christian or about following Christ in baptism, all you have to do is walk to the front. There'll be people waiting there to talk to you, and we welcome you with open arms. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that you give us, and thank you that nothing in this world can take our joy away, because our joy is wrapped up in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's lost their joy, I pray that you just fill them with your joy. Not just fill them, but fill them to overflowing with your joy. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.